Welcome back to the Making Sense of Money podcast, presented to you by P1FCU, where we tackle all the financial topics that matter the most to you. I'm your host, Tanis, and today we have two very special guests, Scott and Wyatt Baldwin with the Jackson Pay It Forward Foundation. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, I have been very excited for this topic, this episode, because obviously Jackson Pay It Forward is very close to my heart, so I'm very excited for today. And I thought maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about yourselves and the connection that you guys have built in the community.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so we started the foundation back in 2006. And it all started with my brother who had cancer and wanted to raise money for a local kid that was getting a bone marrow transplant. And he passed away for, 10 days after his birthday, his 10th birthday. And that's kind of where it all started, and just that idea of wanting to pay it forward. And we've been fortunate enough to create that organization in a community that's as amazing as our community, with as much support and everything we have. We're just very close with the whole thing.
I remember a story of, like, there was something that Jackson wanted to do as far as giving back, or there was a story about that. So that kind of puts this all into fruition.
Yeah, he was really blessed by the community, just constantly reaching out to him and giving him stuff and fishing stuff, everything, all these different things, and so good to him. And we asked him for his 10th birthday, what did he want? And we knew this child, Connor Fry, that was going to have a bone marrow transplant. And he said, you know, him and Stacy kind of concocted this thing of, instead of having gifts or anything like that, how about we have this great big party at a friend's house, and everything that we can raise, we'll raise all this money, get things to donate, and all that money will go to Connor Fry. And that's really what started it.
Got it. So that was kind of like the inspiration of it.
Yeah. Okay. And then he passed, and we put in there, you know, in lieu of flowers, you know, make out to help Jackson pay it forward. The foundation hadn't been formed yet. Yeah. So now all of a sudden we got this money and we're like, now what? So then we started getting together and started the 501c3 and just kept on going. And that was in 2006. And then in 2007, we had our first auction, and we've had our 10th auction, which we do it every other year. So we had our 10th one this January. So it's been a long time.
And it's always a good time.
Yeah.
So what are the communities that you guys reach out to? Because I know at first it started local, but then now, where are you at now?
So we kind of do just an hour radius from Lewiston.
Got it.
Kind of, yeah, we kind of go off of that general rule of thumb.
Wish that we could help more, but we just have a limited pool. And as soon as we got to Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Boise, stuff like that, we knew we'd be drained. And it would change what we do of a local board and all the people that come to help us. It would really be hard for us. We'd have to start employing other people in other places.
Sure.
And it's just not quite what we're ready to tackle.
Right. Absolutely. Recently, your foundation reached an incredible milestone of $2 million donated to families, which is so amazing. How did it feel when you saw that? I mean, that's incredible from where you started. So what was that like for you guys?
You know, it's amazing because, you know, they say that you reach your first million. It takes a lot longer to reach your first million than your second. Boy, that was true when you're actually donating money, because we got bigger and bigger, and the baskets that we give out with gas cards and Visa cards and iPads, and sometimes it's hotel stays, sometimes it's rent. We try to really tailor it to what the family's need is. And we're helping these families that have a child 18 years old or younger that are going through a medical crisis. So it isn't breaking a leg. It's something, you know, you're going to, typically it's your Seattle, your Spokane, or somewhere where it's a serious issue. So hitting that $2 million that we've donated, plus is 313 families that we've helped. So
wow, that's incredible. When you guys first started and it was like your first family, or like, you know, even your first 10 families, that probably felt like a lot. How many would you say right now you're averaging per year?
You know, it really matters too. Auction years, especially the first 2 months after an auction, because all of our advertising and the awareness, we got tackled this year. I mean, January, we had the auction January 25th. By February, the end of February, we had, I don't know, maybe 10.
gosh.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, I know at one time I came home and there was five baskets on our on our table that we're going to have to get delivered. And
wow.
And we're so happy to be able to do it, but we hate that there was 10 families.
I know. I was going to say it's not a number to be celebrated. It's, it is terrible, but thank goodness for you guys.
We can do it.
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, when there's a lot of money to be made, there's a lot of managing that needs to be done.
Yes.
So how has that been for you guys from the start to finish as far as managing your funds, organizing?
Yeah, we learned, you know, it went from a husband and wife doing this to we immediately we did, you know, some of the things, you know, people ask, how do you do that? How do you start? Mm-hmm. And it really started by getting those bylaws done. And then a board of directors where we could really trust. And it wasn't just Stacey and I's knowledge. It was really getting good people on our board that could help formulate this, because there's a lot, you know, you form that 501c3 with the IRS. You've got to get other things done with the state. You got to get that EIN number, the tax ID number, stuff like that, that we hadn't done any foundations. We didn't know what we were doing. So a couple Google searches now and you can start seeing all of that, what you have to do. But, you know, I admit 20 years ago, there wasn't so much for the Google stuff. So we had an attorney help us quite a bit getting everything drafted.
Sure.
And we're super fortunate to have an awesome auction committee, because that's a whole nother beast to tackle than running the foundation. But we have, I don't know how many people are on that.
Probably about 30.
Holy cow.
And they have people under them helping them out. So we have a great auction.
I love that.
Yeah. And when you're trying to get a party ready for 1,500 people, it takes a big committee to get it ready and get all the items that we're going to have and the sponsorship and just an unbelievable a community that can make this happen.
Because then you have like volunteers and then there's all sorts of like subcategories and all stuff. Do you guys have a board of directors?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And then that takes some of the, like, as far as like the managing of the money, you have a treasurer maybe?
Yeah, we have a treasurer and then we have a board. We have 9 people on our board, different community members, and that really helps. I mean, it's just where we don't want it to just be the Baldwins. This is above that.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more, we want it to be that community feel, but we have to run it like a business. This is big, in our opinion, big money that we got to take care of and do the due diligence on everything that we do. So,
for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So you kind of mentioned some advice based on your experience with starting the foundation as far as having someone help you get started.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be your biggest piece of advice, is to get organized before you?
Yeah. Really trying to figure out, okay, what exactly are we trying to do?
Yeah.
So, you know, coming up with that mission statement was very important for us, and because we wanted to help, but we also know you just can't help everyone. So we had to limit that. You know, we had to limit that to 18 years old and younger.
Mm-hmm.
We had to limit that to medical crisis. And, you know, at first, you know, it wasn't going to be just cancer. We wanted it bigger than that.
Yep.
So, yeah, you kind of got to hone that in. And then you got to really start figuring, okay, legality-wise, what do we got to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got the attorney involved and drew up the bylaws. We drew up got all the EIN number and all of that stuff specific that we needed for it.
Gotcha. What do you think Jackson would say about this? I mean, he'd probably be like, wow. This is freaking cool. But what would you think?
I would say wow and just hope that we're doing what I'm sure we've blown it up more than he expected it would go, but just
for sure.
Wow. And that we're sticking to what he had envisioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be super proud of you guys. Hmm. What is one thing that you wish you knew about money earlier in life? This is a question we ask everybody, and it doesn't have to be crazy. It can be simple, but what's that one thing?
I would say you can never save too much money.
All right. Easy as that.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it is those people that paid attention. You know, I've been doing this for 25 years now, and those people that paid attention, starting at that 18, 19, they start paying attention, and the smallest Roth IRA that they're putting in, it is amazing how that just builds up, and it also just turns into their character, who they are.
Mm.
And you see those, and then you see the people that come in at 50 years old and they start wanting to invest. And I'm like, oh boy, you got to catch up, you know, and I feel bad for them. But those people who start right out of high school and college, they're just a huge leg up.
Yeah.
You know? it gets serious.
So start as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's really great. So we mentioned, you know, the auction,
mm-hmm.
volunteers are important, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to help you guys with the auction or just in general, how do they get a hold of you?
You can go to jacksonspayforward.com, and that has all the information on there. And we will definitely, every auction, we definitely look for volunteers to help set up and tear down. That's a big one that we're always, seems like hurting for volunteers. And
yeah,
we have the falls downtown that always can use some volunteers to, that you've helped with, help yes, clean it up. And
absolutely. That's my favorite.
Yes.
Love yeah. it. Okay. Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah. So some things that you have been involved with. So she started, I would say, how many years ago were you a freshman in college?
That was back in 2011 and 2012.
In 2011, we started the LCSC basketball team, the girls basketball team, coming every year. And since that date, they're still doing it. We're doing it next week. And come and help clean the falls up. And it's Jackson Baldwin Falls, a children's memorial. And there's a giant monument down there with over 250 names of children that have passed in the area, or some of them not even in the area, yeah. just from families who want a place to go see their child's name or a grandchild's name, and beautiful place. So we've had many people that we have to thank that have helped clean that up, and we're still doing it today. And
yes,
and it's thriving. So
absolutely. Yeah. Right. And the first thing you see when you roll in. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for spending time with me today and answering some questions and just bringing awareness with what the foundation has to offer and all the things that you do for the community. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And thank you for everybody for tuning in. We hope you learned something new today and feel one step closer to making sense of money. Don't forget to check out our newsletter and subscribe at p1fcu.org. We'll see you next time.